Well, to come tonight to encourage you about what you're doing and encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. When I was in high school, I read a story, a short story, and the title was The Invisible Man. It's not the H.G. Wells story, but there was a small community. There was a series of robberies taking place, and it seemed to be happening in the broad daylight. And the police would come around and they would ask questions. Did you see anything? Did you see anything? And everybody kept saying, no, I didn't see anything. I don't know how this could have possibly happened. They come around to the end of the story and they found out that the man who was doing the robbing was the postman, the mailman who came around every day. And he was such a common figure in the neighborhood that when they saw him, they didn't really see him. He had become invisible to them. And so I think sometimes in a church like this that does so many different types of ministry on such a regular basis that you lose sight of what you're doing and you lose sight of how important it is. And so I've come tonight to encourage you that you're doing a lot. And I want to encourage you to continue in what you're doing and to take a minute to pause and recognize, hey, we are doing a lot and what we're doing is important. And that it takes the support of the entire church to do that. The last words Jesus said before he went into heaven is in Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Isn't that amazing that they could see Jesus risen, and yet they still doubted? And sometimes it is the most faithful who doubt. And so if you have a little bit of doubts about what God can do in you or what God might be about to do, know that you're not alone in that. But the disciples didn't let their doubts stop them. Think about the great things that they did. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. He's talking to men who got there on foot. Go into all the nations. And that command to them is a command to us. But now we have easier ways to go. There were no automobiles. There were no airplanes. There was no internet. Now we have those things. And so we go. I've been at my church 25 years. I've been there a little while and we bought some land so that one day we might move, and then the time came for us to move. And when I first went to my church, it was not very healthy. And so we spent some time getting healthy. And then we did a total move, a relocation from one place to a new place. Usually in America, when a church decides to do that, it's very divisive. But we moved slowly. We sought the leadership of the Lord. And the question was, what does God want us to do? And then once that question was settled, that wasn't the question anymore. The question became, how do we do what God wants us to do? And so when it came time for us to vote to move, it was 100%. Everybody voted, this is what God wants. That never happens in America. And so then we had to build the building, and we're going through the building program. And as we were going through that, the Lord began to impress on my heart that the move wasn't about the building, and that we had to get outside the walls of the building to do ministry. And that the building would be, now it's a big deal now that we're building this building, but that the move couldn't be about the building, but the building had to be a launching pad. And in that, as part of that process, I was doing this 13-week study, and the 13th week of the study began to talk about missions, and the question was asked, who from your church has gone out to do missions? And I thought, nobody. Nobody. And I was convicted of that. And I didn't really know what to do about that, but I knew that it was a problem. And so, I'll make a really long story short, this lady started coming to our church. She lived in another town. And she told me, she said, "I really don't know why I came to your church. Just one Sunday, I was driving down the road and saw your church and thought, well, I'm going to go there." And so she came to me and she said, "I've been invited to go to Honduras, but I'm afraid to fly. And I've looked and I can't drive to Honduras. What do you think I should do?" I said, "I think you should get on the airplane and go, and we'll pray for you." So she went to Honduras. She came back. She invited three more men to go with her the next time. They went. They came back. We opened it up, said, "Who wants to go?" 20 people came to the meeting, and they began to go. And so we began to do missions. And now it's grown from us not doing any missions to now there is some kind of mission effort going out from our church almost every week of the year. And sometimes people say to me, they'll say, "Oh, why are we going to these other places when there's all kind of work to do here?" And I say, then we do work here. And so I want you to know that this church does all those things. You literally open your doors. You have an event called Open Doors where you invite the community to come into your church. You open your doors for messy church, where children who are not in any church come into this church building and are loved and are treated well and they're taught about God. On Wednesday night, you open this church and you have children who come to this church who aren't in church on Sunday. You open your doors to them and they come and they hear about the gospel. You open your doors to senior adults. This church has an open door in this community. That is, it is significant. Churches in America would love to have the number of lost people that come in your building every week. They would love to have that same thing. And I think sometimes you don't realize how important that is. And then you send people. You send people. Dave and Claire here tonight, they were part of this church. You sent them. John's been going to Latvia almost 20 years, is that right? 24 years. It was almost 21 when I met him. 24 years going to Latvia, consistently to Latvia, building a relationship with a Latvian biblical center, year after year, trip after trip. And through that, this great relationship built. Now a building has been built, and John was, to be honest, it wouldn't have happened without John's leadership. Now that building has been built, and because there's the building, now the ministry is beginning to expand rapidly. Pastors being taught, church members being trained to effectively spread the gospel and to share encouragement within the church. And Lansing Tabernacle has made a tremendous difference in Latvia because you've sent your pastor consistently. Then there's Richard Brunton in Living Hope. There's nothing else really like that I've ever seen. 30 countries around the world where you've consistently supported him and people have gone with him. You've given him the freedom to go. You've given him the encouragement to go. And how many thousands of people touched through that ministry? You need to understand that you're doing exactly what the Word says. And it takes a lot of people working in that. It's easy for some church members to begin to say, "Well, you know, church is about me. And we need to make sure that what goes on at the church is good for me." But you need to know that's not God's desire, is that church is not about you. Now, I love you, but it's not about you. It's about Him. And church is not so much about the people who are already coming to church as it is about the people who are not coming yet. And so it's important you have those open doors. It's important that we follow this command. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It's the authority of God. It's under His authority that you go. It's under His authority that you send. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. You can't teach if you just go one time and never go back. You've heard Dave and Claire talk about how God worked it in their lives, so they had to be home. And because they were home, then they opened their home. And because their home was opened, then people have come. And because they've been under a consistent witness, they've come to faith in Christ. And now those people are sent back out. It hasn't been easy, but it's been fruitful. And John, going to Latvia, every time he teaches in Latvia, translated into two languages. I was there with him one day, and he spent the entire day teaching, and it was being recorded so it could go all around to be taught. But that's a hard thing to teach all day long to nobody except a camera. And yet he did that. And then I'm not sure that you understand what a gifted teacher John is. And when he goes to do these pastoral schools, that the people who sit under his teaching are getting first class teaching. And when you send him, you're expanding the kingdom. And so that's what I want to encourage you about Lansing Tabernacle, is that you are here and you've put down roots here and you're reaching out here, which is important, but you are also sending men and women who are expanding the kingdom. And so I see it. I've been in the same town 25 years, and I see churches get focused on themselves. And we're going to do what we like, and we're going to do what we want to do. And they get focused on themselves, and the church shrinks. But I believe God has a bigger vision than that for the church, for every church, and that the church should have a vision of the kingdom. And so we are preparing men and women. We're sending men and women out. Now, here's what happens. You send out Dave and Claire, and you send them off, and then they're gone. And so somebody has to step up and step into the roles that they had. And so always within a church, especially a church this size, they're always looking for people to step up and to step out into new roles, new opportunities to lead, new opportunities to serve. And so you have in this church, and tonight I'm preaching to the choir, you have the people who are faithfully serving. But I want to encourage you to always be looking. Who can we add to the leadership team? Who can we encourage? Who can we have to help come along beside us? Who can we release to go and to try and to do so that your team continues to grow? And you never know how God's going to move somebody on in the midst of that. And so I want you to know, and I said this morning, I'll say it again, that your church has impacted our church. And that we do some things differently because of what we've seen you do. And your church has impacted my family. And it's been such a blessing for Andrew to be here. And the growth that we've seen in him. And the thing about it is, when he came, I just knew it was going to be good. I knew you. I trusted you. I loved you. And I just knew that it would be good. And it has been. You have not disappointed in that. But I'm so grateful that you gave Andrew an opportunity to serve. You learn to preach by preaching. You can read all kind of books and not ever become a good preacher. You learn to preach by preaching, and you've allowed him to do that, and you've encouraged him, and John has taught him. You've allowed him to go to school, and so he's going to school part-time. You've given him freedom to write and research and do those things. You've encouraged him in that. Dave Hart told me when we dropped Andrew off, Dave Hart said, "I will treat him like one of my own." And he has done that, and I'm thankful to him. But others of you have done that same thing, and so we are grateful. And so our hearts are always grateful to you and thankful to you and knitted together with your heart. And so as I stand here today looking forward, I don't really know what God has in store, but I know it's good. In 2012, I had no idea what God had in store for us, but it's been such a bountiful blessing. You heard John tonight talk about what he learned about you in prayer and how it's impacted his life. And now he's inviting people into his home. You need to know. I want to encourage you. The clown knows. Huh? I want to encourage you that what you're doing has made a difference. And it is making a difference. And it will make a difference in the years to come. Follow him. Follow him. Follow his spirit. You don't have to do anything that any other church is doing to try to be like them. Follow the spirit. Be empowered by the spirit. And as you follow him, you've already seen it. He will provide the people and he'll provide the resources. You be obedient to him. And know that Lansing Tabernacle is impacting the kingdom of God. And people all around the world, they may not ever meet you, they might not ever know you, but you've had a part in them coming to faith in Christ, of them being encouraged, them being strengthened, them being taught. You have a part in that, and it makes a difference for now and forever. Let me just pray briefly, and I'll give it back to Richard. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share tonight and to hear different testimonies of your work through just regular people, Father. We thank you that you're that kind of God, that you're such a great God, that you don't need us, that you allow us to be a part of your kingdom's work. And it's just such a privilege to be a part of your kingdom's work. And times it's hard, at times it can be discouraging, and if we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed, we can even be burned out, as Drake has found out. So, Father, help us to remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That you are the vine and we are the branches. And if we abide in you, we can bear much fruit. But apart from you, we can do nothing. And so let us be careful to abide in you. Let us be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory when good things happen, and not to think, well, this is because of me. And help us to always live with grateful hearts that you give us a chance to be a part of your work. But help us, Father, not to miss the chances that you give us. For it is possible for us to miss it if we're afraid, if we're selfish. And so, Father, help us to always be obedient, to step out in faith and follow you. And let us live with a great sense of joy that I'm following the King and he will bless me. I thank you for this church, for what they mean in my life, for what they mean in the life of my family, for what they mean in this community, and what they mean in this world and in the kingdom. And I pray that you will continue, Father, to send people out from this church into all the world to make disciples. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.